association with Who1.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode 105 of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast. I'm Adam.
I'm Alicia.
Yes, she's back! A more positive reaction to that. Now, I wanted to get you on the show this week because, one, you've actually watched an episode of Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And, two, we have now a podcast with royalty on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, we'll start with... What do you want to start with? The royalty... Roy can't speak. What do you want to start with? Royalty
mind.
Or Doctor Who?
I don't know.
Well, that's a Doctor Who podcast, isn't it? Let's start with Doctor Who. Right, what episode did you watch this week?
Is it the Christmas one?
Well, they've done 5 Christmas episodes.
The first one.
Which was called?
Christmas Invasion.
My goodness!
You're in form.
Yes, Christmas Invasion, which you quite enjoy, because I heard lots of little giggling noises you do when you enjoy stuff that's on telly.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Go on then, go a brief synopsis of said story.
Sycorax.
Well, we didn't actually just watch that. We watched the little comic relief. The Children Need Special
yeah,
first.
Yeah, that's not really. It's
yeah, it fills a gap between Parting of the Ways and Christmas. Well, with that, he just steps out of the TARDIS, doesn't he? So, because it goes from Barcelona to him stepping out of the TARDIS, so it's a nice little filler. I quite like the what was it called again? Barcelona, I think I called it, even though it hasn't actually got a name. Yeah, so go on in. It's a brief synopsis of the Christmas Invasion.
Sycorax.
Not that brief.
It's brief.
Yeah, a bit more.
A doctor just regenerated.
Yes.
There you go.
Pardon?
And he needs tea.
Yeah, go on then. Can you remember the bits that made you laugh? Because there was lots of little chuckly bits, little funny lines that Jackie's coming up with for a start. I remember you chuckling at something she said. That's probably when the Christmas tree started spinning. And
that's funny.
Yeah. We're going to get killed by a Christmas tree! Yeah. Anyway, go on then. Give us what do you want me to do the story then?
Go on then.
Well, the TARDIS sort of crash lands, really, doesn't it? Sort of bumps off a few buildings before coming to rest. And then the Doctor very quickly collapses. And then is sort of unconscious while the Sycorax sort of Santa, robo Santa things start invading and shooting people. Is that correct?
Yeah, they're called pilot fish.
Yeah, but it's basically what they were. And then they realise they need the Doctor who's out of it. And they're just about to get killed by, isn't it? They're just about to get killed by a Christmas tree. And Rose says, wake up. And he sort of suddenly just sits up and does the sonic screwdriver and then lies back. No, he gets up for a bit, doesn't he? Then he falls down again. And that's the thing that made you laugh. A little conversation on the balcony between him and Jackie. And she's trying to find out what he needs. She won't let him finish his sentence.
Yeah.
And you said about the teeth.
I need.
Is that the bit where he first does the teeth bit?
Yeah.
The bottom teeth. She did when he regenerated. Did when the master died. Or one of the times the master died.
Does he like... He likes showing his teeth.
His bottom teeth, he does, yeah.
I can't see.
Because actually, I'm so sorry. He hasn't said that yet. It's one of his catchphrases. Aaron Z, he hasn't said yet. I'm so sorry. He hasn't said yet either. So basically then the Sycorax turn up and to make everybody start walking toward... Well, certain people start walking up tall buildings.
A-positive.
Yeah, but they don't know it's A-positive until the Doctor wakes up, really. But and then the Prime Minister manages to get herself beamed onto the ship with Adam Garcia and and he has some sort of little translation device.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, which doesn't work particularly well.
It does.
How did he get? Where did he get the translation device from, anyway?
I don't know.
Big mention of Torchwood. No, that was at the end, but still big mention of Torchwood. And then, of course, whilst I think they got into the TARDIS, that's right, the TARDIS... Oh, no, they got the Doctor into the TARDIS, didn't they?
Yeah.
And then...
your car just got beamed up.
Yeah, Jackie got left behind. Where are you going?
I'm doing my hair, Dad. I do have to go to school.
I'll have to come over with you then. The TARDIS got left behind, didn't it? Jackie got left behind. The TARDIS got beamed up to the ship. And then there's a bit of... few people get vaporised by the Sycorax. With their special whips. And, but in the meantime, Jackie's made a flask of tea which falls over in the TARDIS and starts leaking into the under part of the console. And the long of the short is that the tea fixes the TARDIS. And suddenly, I like the bit where suddenly start understanding what they're saying. Then the Doctor is alright and gets all arrogant and stuff and has a fight with the Sycorax leader bloke, gets his hand chopped off. And then he kills him, doesn't he? Basically, he says, no second chances. I'm that kind of man.
Yeah.
And then everything's all done. He changes into his new suit. They go down, and then.
Disowns Harriet Jones.
Yeah, no, that's when they get back to the bottom, and she gives Torchwood the order to destroy the Sycorax ship. Then he plants the seed in the mind of Adam Garcia,
That's the end. I really don't.
Don't you think she looks tired?
Yeah, I don't get it.
Nor do I, really, but it worked as a plot thing, didn't it?
Yeah.
And, yeah, so that was it. And, of course, there was more of the Mickey trying to come to terms with Rose staying with the Doctor.
Yes.
And that was the end of the Christmas Invasion. So, yes, what did you think?
Good, wasn't it?
Do you think it's the best Christmas special they've done? Or do you think there's been better ones since?
I don't know. I haven't watched all of them yet, have I? Not everyone.
That's not really an excuse, is it? What have you got to say for yourself?
Shut up.
You've got to say shut up to yourself. That's a bit harsh.
Shut up.
Okay. So that's basically our sort of outlook of that. We'll be talking in greater detail with some more like-minded people later on in the show.
Shut up.
But as I was saying earlier, we have royalty
on
the podcast now.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yes, it's the... Second Princess Carnival Princess of House of Carnival. Yes, may I introduce Miss Alicia Pearson? So how's it feel to be royal again?
Nothing, really.
Don't like it. Right, I just got onto the phone to Lynn. I said you don't
Did
really...
I say that?
You didn't. You said you weren't really particularly bothered about
shut
it.
Stop
there. I'm not even joking.
I didn't say that, actually.
I thought you'd be quite pleased.
I am quite pleased. I'm just tired.
You're royal.
I am quite pleased. I'm just tired. Do I have to say it twice to get through your head?
So, could you explain to our American listeners what's entailed?
It's like if in America you have beauty pageants and you win crowns and stuff. In Britain, we have that's our version of a beauty pageant. It's to be Carnival Queen.
Yeah, what happens when you are Carnival Queen or Princess?
You get to go on Carnival, be on floats, and go to functions. Around cows and the island, and you're basically the princess and queen of cows.
Yeah, basically. And you get to wear a tiara.
Tiara, sash, dress.
And you were quite pleased when you've been trying for about 4 years since you were last Carnival Junior. She was Junior Queen, listeners, a few years ago.
In 2008.
Mm. And she's been waiting 4 years to get back onto the Cows Carnival float. So it's a big thing, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, because it was the last year of me auditioning, because next year I've got GCSEs.
Never mentioned about GCSEs often on the show, do you?
Mm.
No. Okay, move on to eBay then. The item that's the most expensive item listed on eBay this week is original 1966 Dalek art from the TV. Oh, that's funny, that was on last week. And the week before, and the week before. And £3,850 that nobody's going to spend. So
what?
Just comic artwork. By Ron Taylor. Turner. So, yeah, that's the most expensive item on eBay this week.
How much is it?
Oh, good grief. £3,850.
Hmm.
Right, moving that's further down the list. The item that's the most expensive with actual bids against it is Land Rover Series 2A 1966 Spares or Repair Doctor Who Unit. So, basically, it's a unit Land Rover toy.
Oh, I thought it was actual land.
£525.
I thought it was actual Land Rover, like a car.
No, it's yeah. I suppose you could get a ropey old Land Rover for £520. Local pickup, that one, and it's 525.
How big is it?
Four bids. It's a toy size, isn't it?
Yeah, but why do you have to pick it up then?
I don't know. So that's the number one item. Weird bids against it. Let's see if I can find anything else on this list. I'm sure there was something else Doctor Who-ish that we were going to... Oh, yes, what did you think of the news of Jenna Louise Coleman? On the microphone. Being announced as the new companion.
At least I know her.
And what do you know her from?
Waterloo Road. She killed her dad.
That's nice. No, she has got a northern accent because she comes from Blackpool.
Does she? Good.
Yes. But in Titanic, which is a programme we're watching at the moment, she plays a Cockney. So clearly, there's a possibility she might not be having a northern accent in Doctor
Who. Well, it would be quite cool if she had a northern accent, because northern accents are cool.
We haven't had a lot of companions with northern accents,
exactly.
Have they? Doctors with northern accents, but not companions. The second item this week is Doctor Who Weekly, One Transfers. Don't know what that was all about.
£184.99. For what?
Probably the number one issue of Doctor Who Weekly. Basically, it's when we know we've got DWM now, Doctor Who Magazine.
Yeah.
Well, when it started out, it was called Doctor Who Weekly. And they got the issue one, £184.99. What am I doing? That's not got any bids against it. I misread that because you put me off. No, but that was quite interesting anyway. Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to buy that.
Did I sell my Doctor Who Adventures for that, though?
I thought you got rid of it.
I know I did.
Well, you know then.
Would I be able to?
Yeah, you'd probably sell them for a bit, but not 884 quid. Full-size Dalek prop, £190. That's 25 bids against that. There's surely going to be one more item I can talk about on here. Thanks for that in the face. That was lovely. A face full
good.
Of hairspray.
Good.
Really, really nice.
Good.
Mm. Now, you're on holiday soon, aren't you?
Next week.
And you're going to promise your services to the podcast for 2 weeks running, aren't you?
Might do, yeah. Depends if I've got carnival or not.
No, you won't be having carnival at 11 a.m. on a Monday, will you?
Might do, never know.
No, you won't be, Alicia.
Well, I've got stuff going on, you know. Busy.
You do? You know what? You'll get a reward for appearing on the show.
What?
You get
points.
20
wow,
points, yes.
I don't care.
And you get me actually agreeing to help you out on the odd occasion, like I do.
You do all the time anyway.
Yeah,
so
well,
point.
You'll get me doing with gratitude rather than, oh God, if I got to do that, you know, I will actually do it and be quite pleased about doing
Who's
it.
Who's coming down
if you
to
help
the
me, I'll help you, sorry?
Who's coming down for the pictures on
Well, it would probably be me, won't it, if you think about it, as I would be the one that takes you down there.
Why can't Bum come?
Bum? Who's Bum?
Mum.
Because she's probably going to have to look after Isabella.
Brilliant.
Because it's her bath bedtime. Mine, brilliant.
Danny and Papa can come down if they like.
Danny? Who's Danny?
Danny.
Right, the third item, creepy mechanical man costume prop. That's obviously a costume of the robots from Robots of Death. If I say that to you without showing you a picture, do you know what I'm talking about?
Don't care.
£99 plus £12 postage, two bids. And that concludes eBay for this week.
You passed my makeup bag behind you.
Oh, it's heavy. What? So, Miss Grumpy, next week, please. No. Is it next week you're off? It isn't it?
No.
Next Monday.
No.
Please come onto the show.
No.
Yet not only we get 20 points, you will also get some gratitude from me and make certain listeners very happy. Mm. Might not make Ben very happy, but hey ho.
Yeah, but if I get bored, I will leave.
I'm sure you will. Thank you, Alicia.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Fraser Hines, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
And I'm joined by Ben Shoveler.
Hello, I was just watching the first preview of the next series of Doctor Who. I just didn't realise there was a trailer out, and I just saw it as you were waiting online.
Right.
And, ooh, doesn't that look like a Doctor Who series?
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Good morning, good evening, good night, whatever.
And we would guess that the others haven't remembered that the clocks have gone forward, and will be on in about an hour's time.
They idiots.
I've only seen the grainy version of that trailer that someone shot with, like, a cell phone. I see that there's the official one. Sorry.
That was, guess who was ear flapping? You can guess. He hasn't ear flapped all morning, and the moment we start recording, there we go.
I see that the better version is out there, but I just woke up half an hour ago.
Are you telling me there really is a trailer for Doctor Who?
Yeah, if you go to the Doctor Who bit, if you go under News and Features, there's the first preview of the new series trailer. It goes on for 1 minute and 17 seconds.
Oh, my God. It's like, how many, 6 months away?
What, you have to pay attention.
Nobody's posted that on our group.
Okay, I will.
No, thank you very much. It's very nice of you.
If I can do that.
No, I'll do it.
Well, don't fight
over it. All right, then. All right, I'm not going to fight about it.
Yes.
You can have the privilege.
Well, that obviously brings me rather nicely round to new companions. Jenna
At
Louise.
Least you know about that.
Jenna Louise Coleman, who was in Titanic last night, not the boat, the actual
series. You know
series.
What? I said to my mate last night as I was sat around his house. We're doing the podcast tomorrow, and I bet you the first thing we talk about is the new companion and how fantastic she's going to be, even though we don't even know what she's doing.
Well, I was quite gratified to see her acting very well, as you said, but with not a northern accent. I thought, oh God, are we going to have a... She may well have a northern accent in Doctor Who, but it's clear that she's able to adapt, you know. Because I would imagine that the part she was playing in Titanic didn't necessitate her having a Cockney accent. But there we go.
Should have been Irish.
Irish?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. She could have
been. Well, a lot of the people on Titanic were southerners who died, weren't they? Because the northerners, they didn't accept...
Yes, a lot of them were Southampton, weren't they?
Exactly, and a lot of people from the north, you know, they were trying to buy their tickets for Titanic, but the White Star who ran Titanic wouldn't accept monkeys as payment.
Or so, Banafa Catatalatas. That one with the little spiky thingy doodars on it.
What are you talking about?
Titanic. Never mind. yeah, what? So she's very pretty. She certainly looks older than 25 years older she actually is, so could she well be playing someone, as she usually does, 7 years younger than she actually is?
Let's wait and see, shall we?
But I predict.
I've heard at least one rumor that it's Chameleon again.
Chameleon?
It's Return of Chameleon.
What, she's playing Chameleon?
Yes, it's just a rumor.
Oh my goodness! But then
she's playing Romana 3.
She's not coming back to the Christmas. No. Well, she's not in it to the Christmas special, so that implies.
Yeah, but
that
there's only six episodes before Christmas.
Yeah,
isn't there?
Yeah. So that's obviously halfway through.
Up again. If anyone
you mean it's almost Christmas?
No.
Well,
it is for Doctor
Who. Last night in my house.
Yeah, in Doctor Who world, it is definitely nearly Christmas.
But why are they splitting the series again? It just didn't work with the series split. And doing it again next year, they're clearly, you know, they'll have six before Christmas, then the Christmas special, and then seven at some time in 2013.
You know, this Moffat debate, obviously, he seems to be a bit like Marmite. You either like him or hate him. It appears to me that the Doctor Who podcast absolutely love him. And I'd love to get into some sort of debate. I mean, I don't mind him. I'm sort of on the fence, you know. I get certain things about him that annoy me.
No,
certain...
fence with Marmite.
Yeah, well, no, I love Marmite. Although I don't like
too.
Eating it as it is. I like it on something. I won't eat it.
Nothing rhymes with Marmite.
Yes, it does, but I'm not going to go down that road. But, yeah, the Doctor Who podcast absolutely love Moffat, and I'd love to get into some sort of debate with them. You and Reese versus the two of the Doctor Who podcasters that actually like him. So that'd be it would be an interesting to sit back and listen to that. But nevertheless...
There'd be no point in that at all.
Why wouldn't there?
Well, because it would be like... they'd say, Moffat's great! And I'd say, no, he's rubbish. And they'd say, no, he's great!
You'd have to have some sort of argument.
And it would continue like that for about an hour, and then I'd just say, oh, go away. And I'd hang up on them because I'd just get bored of them and say, he's great. No, because his storylines are so exciting and the story arcs are fantastic. And they make so much sense and he doesn't make things up as he goes along at all.
Right. Well, I've just thought of something, changing the subject. What?
Have I got my grumpy trousers on today?
Probably. But I thought now we haven't got take advantage of, because I was going to bring in some sort of disciplinary procedure for people interrupting and stuff.
For people interrupting you?
We don't interrupt.
Well, anybody, really. Mainly me.
Lord on high.
But
Chief Time Lord.
I've got a funny feeling that there aren't going to be so many interruptions on this particular segment of the show, so it might be a good
I wouldn't agree with that personally. I'm sorry.
Thank you. A good opportunity to do the charts.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I nearly didn't do last night because it was 9 o'clock, and I was like, oh, no, I haven't done the charts.
I wondered where they were.
But I did them anyway because I was watching Titanic and doing the charts at the same time.
So, all right, then.
Okay.
At number 30. Should we start?
Yeah.
Okay. I wonder how long it will take to do this today. With only
cue the music. Cue the music. Cue the music.
You don't have to do that because obviously I'll be dubbing the music.
If we do.
Oh, shush.
You put the music underneath, do you? I mean, obviously I know that.
Yeah, of course you know that, yeah. Of course I'll put the music underneath it.
Okay. Here we go then.
Yes.
I'm just letting the intro start.
Okay.
In my head. At number 30, a re-entry for Telos AM. At 29, a re-entry for Ian Todd's World of Podcasts. At 28, down 3 for the Cultdom Collective. 27, a re-entry for Arrow of Time. And hold on a minute, has there been a wicket in a test match? No, there hasn't. They've just got some runs. And at 26, down 3, the Sonic Toolbox. 25, a re-entry for The Gallicas from France. And at 24, a re-entry for Historian. 23, a re-entry for The Untempered Schism. And at 22, down 1 for Travelling the Vortex. 21, a re-entry for The Hawkcast from Germany. And at 20, for The Time Vault.
What was that last one?
The Time Vault.
What number was it?
Number 20.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Number 19, and I do love the way you've written this. It's a re-entry for the... Ha! Penis Patrol. And number 18. That's what she said. Boom.
Hang on. I got the what you just said. What was the one after the ha?
Penis Patrol.
Yeah, that one. What was that one after that one?
Number 18.
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah. Go on.
Am I going all wibbly wobbly timey wimey watery with water?
No, unfortunately Kirby was snoring so loudly it drowned it out.
That was only 15 seconds. I was going to go for 30. That's what she said. At 18, it's down 1 for Articles of the Shadow Proclamation. Oh, the white zone. At 17, up 7 for Earth Station 1. And at 16, a re-entry for 2 Minute Time Lord. That's what she said. At 15, up 3, a madman with a box. And number 14, a re-entry for Waffle On Podcast. 13, a re-entry for... I've lost my place. Who on Who. And at number 12, up 8 places for Crossover Adventure Productions. At 11, up
never
two.
Never heard of it.
Neither have I. But it's doing rather well. It's where we were last week, which means that we're not there anymore. At number 11, up 2 for Staggering Stories. At number 10, a re-entry for Bad Wills. On your bed, boy. Bad Wills. And at number 9, a re-entry for Radio Rassilon. Number 8 is up 6 for the Pharos Project. Number 7 is up 8 for Doctor Who. Who's he? And at number 6...
I don't know. Who is he?
I don't know, but I wish I'd stopped doing that joke in the TV series. Doctor Who.
Yeah,
at number 6, back where we... back slightly better than we were. Up 5 for us, the 20 megabyte Doctor Who and Random Stuff podcast.
Yay!
Yeah. At number 5, a re-entry for the Amiga podcast. Number 4, up 4 for Impossible podcast. At number 3, it says new... for the memory cheats. How have we been beaten by new podcasts?
Well, they weren't new. They were just new in. They were out last week, but they didn't quite get into the top 30.
Hold on, how's that different between new and re-entry?
Because they haven't been in the charts before, I don't think, unless I've forgotten them.
Apparently
I've been subscribed to them. I haven't listened to them yet. Oh, it's short. 15.
So it's your fault these people just were subscribing to them. That counts in the charts, you know.
Maybe we're too long. Maybe we should release 6 podcasts a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that'd make a difference.
Anyway, up 4 at 4 is the Impossible podcast. Hold on a minute.
Yes.
Number 3, we've done. Number 2, up 1 for Tin Dog podcast. And at number 1, up 1, is the Doctor Who podcast. But. Radio Free Scaro isn't in it at all this week, and they were number 1 last week.
That would be because they released their episode last week at 6 p.m, which is the absolute cut off time for the charts. So then their next episode was released after 6 p.m, so they missed the cut off. So they have had one out, but after the cut off time of 6 p.m, so it's just they just missed it.
Wow!
So next week, obviously,
time.
Yeah, next week they obviously will be probably back to number one or two or three or whatever. But yes, there we go. Chart's done. Feedback, maybe? I think that might be a good idea.
Feedback?
Yeah, I got some feedback. I did actually send. This is really ironic, right? I thought the way to stop Robert from interrupting feedback would be to send him the feedback to read out. Genius, I thought. And where is he?
He's sleeping.
He's not here. So we'll go for the audio feedback first.
It's evening there. They're probably eating dinner or something.
Yeah, probably.
He should still be sleeping.
Priorities all over the place in Australia. Podcast first, food second, although I've eaten my food already.
Did everyone see the picture I posted?
The Christmas Inversion.
Oh.
There was a sci-fi series called Babylon 5.
I was listening
to it,
Kirby.
Have the programme title at the end of the pre-credit sequence. We have the same here when Jackie Tyler asks, Doctor Who? Mm. That also links forward to the last scene of Series 6, when Dorian's head in the box asks, Doctor Who? You can complain about that scene until you are blue in the face. Jackie and Mickey both hear the TARDIS before it materialises. They go looking for it, and then it materialises and bounces off the walls. The faces of the Santas remind me of the Smilers in The Beast Below. Some people might think that Moffat pinched the idea.
No.
Arthur Dent from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is mentioned.
Yes.
Arthur tried to find a cup of tea on a spaceship. It was tea that brought about the Doctor's recovery. For effect, the Doctor insults the alien in his own language. Just nitpicking, but the TARDIS translation does not allow that. And the alien hears everything in his own language anyway, so what is the point? Tennant's Doctor spends a lot of this episode unconscious. His Doctor was sleepy. Eccleston's was grumpy. There was a Matt Smith episode called The Lodger. It could have been called The Tennant. There used to be a new companion. She was in Emmerdale. She played a lesbian. Were they in classic Doctor Who? Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. That was Ian Kirk, by the way, listeners, who very successfully and accidentally sort of interrupted Kirby. Now, there was a bit of pedantry in that particular piece, I think a lot of people are trying to outdo you on that front, Kirby. But, yeah, thanks, Ian. I thought there might be a few comments in regards to that. It all went very quiet. Therefore, let's see if Mary Lang can do better.
Hi, everybody, at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I hope everyone is feeling well. And, Ben, I hope you do get the job you were hinting at the last time. And... Adam, congratulations on the job, the promotion that you got.
Why, thank you.
Well, to get right to business, I thought Christmas Invasion was one of the best episodes ever. It's brilliant, it's fantastic, it's amazing, it was funny, and it was scary. And I have to give it to RTD. That guy can really write. In the middle of the scariest scenes, he writes the funniest lines. You gotta give it to him. The back and forth between the Doctor and Jackie, especially on the porch, when he's going, I need, and she's going through everything she can think of. It is so funny. And I burst out laughing when Harriet Jones says, well, has anybody seen the royal family? Oh, they're on the roof. And somebody had to say it. This time it was Jackie. When she says, what do you mean that's the Doctor? Doctor Who?
Oh, yes.
I didn't remember the Doctor talking about the pilot fish and the sharks, but what I'm wondering is this a foreshadowing of A Christmas Carol to come a couple years later?
That's right.
Well, more than a couple of years, but that's another Doctor away. Which brings up what I mentioned in a previous feedback about the speech that this Doctor gives to the Sycorax, being about how wonderful humans are and how this planet is defended, is repeated by the 11th Doctor in his first appearance.
Yes.
And the Torchwood references in this episode brings up some questions for me. One of the assistants to Harry Jones says that, well, you know, they've lost a third of their staff. Well, now, Torchwood hasn't actually started that we know of. So what could they be referring to? I mean, the Torchwood we know started in 2007.
Yeah.
So do you have any idea what they're talking about?
Yeah, I have theories.
And I don't remember if it was ever made known in Torchwood how Jack got the doctor's hand. So this is the time to have the Geek Fest. Anybody who knows any of these relationships between Torchwood and this episode, speak up now. And one other question. At Christmas time, is it very cold in the UK? Because in this episode, people were walking around in light little rain jackets.
Well spotted.
It didn't look particularly cold.
Now, see what I mean, Kirby?
I know down in Australia, where Reese and Robert are, that, you know, they're in t-shirts and shorts at Christmas time. But I thought it was colder at Christmas in the UK. Can you shed any light on that for me? Oh, well, okay, I've gone on long enough, and that's my piece. So, until next time, bye-bye.
Right, firstly, Mary, it is always absolutely stone balls freezing in England at Christmas.
Yes, it is.
Doesn't matter what they represent it as on telly, it is freezing.
I think basically what they can you can say about that is they forgot, because they depict...
What's with the music?
Sorry?
What's with the music? Turn the music down.
A little bit loud there, mate.
What music? I can't hear any music.
Back off the mic a little.
Can you hear any music? I can't hear any.
What are you going on about? Mary, Captain Jack got the Doctor's spare hand off eBay.
I was waiting for the first gag. Go on.
And, no, didn't he just pick it up?
He acquired it. Well, trouble is with Torchwood. They acquired every alien artifact that was going. And he just acquired
exactly.
it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And the
people walking out of Torchwood, they're talking about Torchwood 1 in the Torchwood Tower.
Right. Yes. But also, you've got to bear in mind that in Torchwood, we got a bit of backstory, didn't we? And then, of course, with Tooth and Claw, it's Queen Victoria actually starts up Torchwood, doesn't she?
Torchwood TV series. Didn't start until...
No, the CV series, but Torchwood did exist, had been existing up to that point for over 100 years.
Yeah, but...
As a secret organisation.
The losing a third of their staff was a bit of a strange one, because obviously that is what happened at the end of the first series of Torchwood, which had clearly therefore already written by the time he wrote The Christmas Invasion.
Absolutely.
But forgot the fact that it wouldn't have been broadcast by the time this one went out.
Clearly, yeah. Was there any other points that she brought up?
No, but it is blooming cold at Christmas, Mary. You are quite right.
Yes.
It's never warm. It's more than slight jumpers and whatnot. It's normally big,
when it's at its warmest, it's still several layers worth of clothing when you're outside.
I hate Christmas. It's too cold.
Hats as well.
But today's lovely. It's
beautiful today. It's certainly garden weather today, because it's just a shame I can't get a long enough Wi-Fi lead, because I need to connect it to the lead when I'm on Skype, that will stretch out to the back garden, and I can't do an episode out in the back garden with you lot, because that'd be lovely.
I was going to do my gardening later, actually, but I hurt me back on Saturday, so I can't.
You ought to be more careful. And again, a bit of pedantry. How are you feeling, Kirby, all these people sort of competing with you on the pedant front?
There is no competition.
I think there is. Anyway.
No, he's the king.
We have another bit of audio feedback from Jim the Fish.
Oh, I like these.
You have a message. Connecting you now.
Calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Jim the Fish. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
What a great pun by Ian Kirk about satire and steel in last week's show. That Cyber Lord with his chiming clock really knows how to take the metal Mickey. Well, this weekend I have been on the planet Cardiff, so I took the chance to ask attendees at the convention what they expect will happen in the next series of Doctor Who.
Ouch.
Those weeping angels will return in an episode titled Flesh and Kirby Bartlestone.
Our hero will confront his nemesis in A Good Damn Goes to War against Stephen Moffat.
The great podcast saboteur will download Draw Sunday with terrifying results in Fear a Leisure.
A farting dog will turn out to be a slipping in The Curse of Magic.
Aliens will gather soldiers from Earth's history to battle Robert in The War Games.
One of the Doctor's oldest enemies will attempt to invade the Isle of Wight using a Tesselector in an episode called Daleks in Man Adam.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
We will see a tragic, tearful departure in an epic titled Restarting of the Waves.
Well, that's all from the convention. Now, I have to go and inspect my dam. This is Jim the Fish signing out. Until the next time.
Your message has ended. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Jim. Damn, he's good.
Fantastic. Love them.
What was that? What was that Ben one he did? The title, your title one.
Oh, it was very funny.
You didn't get it, did you?
I did. I just forgotten it.
I was just
brushing my hair.
Oh God. You already know you will have to listen. Well, Kirby, what was the Ben one?
I don't remember.
Oh, for goodness sake. Right. Let's see if I can find it again. Hang on.
Our hero will confront his nemesis in A Good Ben Goes to War.
That's it. A Good Ben Goes to War. That was it.
Okay.
Because I was confronting my nemesis. I did hear the Stephen Moffat bit.
Excellent, Jim and the Fish. Oh, nice, superb.
Very good. I do enjoy them every week because a lot of hard effort. A lot of hard effort.
A lot more hard effort goes into that than there goes into us doing
the rest of the podcast.
Mary did send me a further email that says, "Oh my gosh, the music I recorded this time did make it through. One of my favourite Murray, spelled M-R-R-Y, gold pieces. Martha's theme. Meese will know about it, but he's not here, so never mind."
Greek will know about it. He knows about all crap that no one needs to know.
True.
And for a young fella like he is, he should really be concentrating on more important things like girls.
Yes, and again, true. Oh, it does. He concentrates on things like girls he can't get anywhere near, like Karen Gillan. Right.
That's right.
Richard Culp says, "Let me start off by quoting from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Don't panic. This is another early email. It is so strange how I sent my first one right after finishing the podgram, and it seemed to vanish." Or so I thought.
Gonna catch on that, I tell you.
Eventually it will. "I listened to you do the audio feedback in the 104th podgram, and Adam say he was checking for other feedback. He didn't find any, and he went into the news. I assumed my email on Boomtown was lost. Well, right up until it was read right after I had just resent it. I don't normally say this, but please ignore that email I resent." I did, by the way.
I ignored it too.
"Steering back into the topic of Eccleston, I have to say, we hardly knew you. Putting aside anything we later learned of why he left along with all the rumours, I have to say, we were blessed by his portrayal of the time-travelling Doctor. Single-handedly, he took the stories, both good and bad, and not many bad, alas, I say, I'll just check that one in for myself, and helped to reintroduce us to the Doctor. He proved the show was more than just a faded memory and helped build a new fan base of younger viewers. This was no longer the low-budget show with styrofoam boulders, cardboard-cut-out Daleks, and wobbly sets. Love him or hate him, Eccleston blazed the Doctor back into the minds and hearts of people again. He helped the show take its first steps into the worldwide juggernaut it is now. We owe him a round of applause."
Yay.
"For all his hard work. Without him, we will never really know if anyone else could have done the same job. I would certainly not go back and try and see how things might have gone, even if I had the option. He was the right man for the job, and I would be very happy if he would decide to return to the role for a multi-Doctor story." Me too.
Never gonna happen. Never gonna happen.
Somebody said if enough money was thrown at him, he might.
I think
he will when he's much older and finally realizes what he was in.
Maybe so. Hope so.
I don't think so. I think
I'd like to see McGann back as well. Before I say goodbye, I would like to ask Ben a question.
as well as make one request. I know from the uncountable times spoken that you have a strong dislike of Stephen Moffat. Really?
No. Where did you pick that up from?
I don't know. As executive producer. With that said, what other executive producer from the show's past do you also consider to have done a poor job? As for my request, I hope you might be willing to stop saying how bad a job you think Moffat is doing. Reason one, he is not done yet. I feel you cannot properly assess his work until he has stepped down and moved on. Once he has finished his job, we can examine and pass a final judgment. Reason two, I'm starting to get weary of hearing this over and over again. I'm certain you are tired of saying it as well. I'm not asking or even trying to persuade you from your opinion. I simply want to have it set aside as an unspoken topic until we can assess his full work at a later date. Until next week, keep up the great work. Thank you, Richard.
Firstly,
yes,
that's a fair enough point, Richard. There's many a times, as I'm sure Adam has as well, probably not so much Kirby, where we're watching football, or socha, as you call it in the rest of the world, games, and you see someone having a particularly bad game, and you sit there slating him, saying, oh, he's rubbish, he's having a real bad game, and then he'll score a hat-trick in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Now, using that analogy, which I'm quite impressed and pleased with, I completely take your point on that. To be fair, however, it's not normally me who brings up my hatred of Stephen Moffat. It is normally one of the other podcast members who then goads
me. But also, you get the blame for it, but Reese is quite vocal on his dislike.
Oh, I don't mind taking the blame for it because, you know, as he says, I am quite vocal about it when pushed. But, no, I see his point. It's a bit harsh to
probably
get a bit
tedious.
But, to be fair, we have had, hopefully, 65 of the 90 minutes of a football match of Stephen Moffat's reign over Doctor Who, and I just haven't been that impressed by it. It's just been too complicated and a lot of unnecessary stuff. Some all right stuff, some quite good stuff, but a lot of it has been not to my tasting. And the thing is, here's another analogy for you. On the Oasis album, I forgot the name of the second Oasis album. What's the Story, Morning Glory? On that, right, the track listing goes number three, Wonderwall, number four, Don't Look Back in Anger, and number five, I can never remember the name of the track that's number five on that album, because I love number four, Don't Look Back in Anger, so much. Whenever four or five came on, I was just like, I don't want to listen to this. And I thought Russell T. Davis was absolutely fantastic. The whole team who worked under RTD was brilliant, the directors, the producers, most of the writers. When it moves on to the next track, i.e. Stephen Moffat, I'm not impressed by it, and I don't want to listen to it too much.
But as I alluded to last week, we have a new series coming up, which he has promised, I do in inverted commas, to make more standalone stories, and I'm just hoping that that will, reel it back for him a little bit.
Well, it might do, but we'll have to wait and see. Indeed. I'm not going to make any predictions, thoughts about the new series until we've actually seen
Absolutely.
It. I mean, the trailer looks all right, but the trailers for last series looked all right.
Yeah,
it was
just
a case that he then decided to try and loop everything in with a really way over complicated storyline, which didn't really work for me. So, we'll have to wait and see. But no, completely take your point, and, I won't slate Stephen Moffat until someone tries to tell me he's good.
Right, okay, thank you for everybody's feedback. More the merrier. And if you want to send in feedback to the show, it's 20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Sponsored by whoone.co.uk.
And I'll come
Thought
to that
I'd get a plug in
later
for that
on.
Before the end of the show this time, because we never mention it until the end of the show, and so I thought we'd get it in a little bit earlier. So that's whoone.co.uk. Our lovely, lovely
was
sponsor.
That, was that whoone.co.uk?
There's no need to do all this.
No, Kirby, it was whoone.co.uk.
That's what I thought you said, whoone.co.uk.
Well, whoone.co.uk, that is what I said, yeah.
Mm. And they do have some rather interesting products coming in. They've got the Jago and Lightfoot 4, big finish production.
What website's that on?
www.whoone, that's the words one.co.uk.
W-H-O-O-N-E.
www.mrs.co.uk. Master Retro Action Figure.
I'd if they would ever send me some stuff, I'd plug them on the podcast.
I'm sure you would, and I'm sure Ben would as well. But they don't sell the cigarettes.
Was that whoone.co.uk?
Yep. Dalek keyrings, a little cuddly TARDIS soft toy, $6.99. I think it's a keyring, actually.
Cuddly TARDIS?
Yeah, I've got a cuddly TARDIS, but it's a bit bigger than the $6.99 one with the little keyring fob on it. New products, yeah, coming soon. Yeah, and actually, no, those are the latest products that are probably available now. Ace Adventures, also, that's available. Pre-order DVDs. Companion Chronicle things. I do all the big range of Big Finish stuff on CD. So they've got, it's a really, really good shop, especially if you like science fiction stuff. Yeah, so we'll move away from Who Won and move on to the...
Who Two.
the Christmas special. But what I will say, I want to do a look at very briefly at the episode with no title, which is a little Children in Need mini episode. I call it Barcelona because I can't think of any other name for it. So the Doctor's just regenerated. Did anybody watch this?
Oh, of course.
Now, I was saying to Alicia earlier on that without this, I mean, because if you don't watch this, basically you see him say Barcelona and then he staggers out of the TARDIS. And this really does, it's quite important for bridging that gap for me, you know, because this is the only way you get to see him sort of testing his ears out and finding out whether he's ginger or not and seeing how thin he is and stuff like that. Because there's none of that in the actual Doctor Who episodes. So it's nice also to see him being the Tenant Doctor for a little while before he becomes the Tenant Doctor after we have to go for the whole episode of him being unconscious. Well, so what do we think of this? Because obviously Rose's hairstyle has changed in the time she's been stood up watching it. But that matter, I suppose. I suppose we have to put up with that.
I guess I never noticed that. Oh, well.
You never noticed that?
God, dear.
No.
Amazing.
You, Mr. Captain Pernickety.
I love those sort of little bits of dialogue between companions and new doctors, which, of course, we didn't get when the 10th Doctor changed into the 11th Doctor. There wasn't that sort of, you know, that shock at the Doctor being different that you always get. I love the reactions of companions when the Doctor's regenerated and they don't know about regeneration. It's interesting to note that none of you have got any opinions on that particular episode.
to be honest with you, I didn't get to watch it.
For God's sake.
I know, and I've completely forgotten it, so I'll have to watch it and give you a review next week.
All right, well, I suppose we could go down that road.
I've got it on in the background right now, looking for this hairstyle change.
Mm. Doesn't really help the situation, but never mind. We'll move on to Christmas.
I like it. I love it.
It's very short, but it's just, there's a lot crammed into it that's very entertaining. So, Christmas Invasion. Now, this, it's interesting to know that it sort of opens up slightly similarly to the first, the episode Rose, with the shot of the Earth. Very similar, actually. And then I think it is virtually the same thing, isn't it? And they zoom into...
I think so.
Yeah.
And it's also very similar to the start of Series 5.
Is it? Well, no, this one, you know, the only thing different is they zoom into Great Britain, but on Rose they zoom into the picture of the clock, don't they?
Isn't it good seeing a TV programme that starts with a view of the Earth that doesn't centre in America? Sorry, Kurt.
Yeah, I know, it's true.
No, I think it's great.
But, you know, we're saying this is at Christmas. At least Mickey's in a mechanics, I suppose, is it? A garage, wearing a hat. So
I think either term would be acceptable for most people.
Yeah, well, hat or garage.
Not hats.
And
no.
I noticed that to try and make it look Christmassy, they've just put a few bits of tinsel around a few posts and things.
Yes, set dressing, 4 out of 10.
Then we fall back to Mary's comment about, you know, the clothing they're wearing. Jackie's just sort of out wearing her chavvy clothes rather than a great big coat that you would do. And the TARDIS then appears, bouncing off all the walls, which still looks great today.
It looks great, but I still have problems with the TARDIS actually flying around like that. I realized
it
I'm
there with you.
In the classic series, it happened a few times. Usually, you could tell it was hanging from a string.
But it did it in space, didn't it? Didn't ever do it on Earth, I think. Maybe
that's
because
right.
They just didn't have the capabilities of doing it on Earth. You used to see it spinning through space, didn't you?
Why is it doing this instead of actually materializing like it should?
I don't know. But it does it a couple of times. It flies through Hitler's window, doesn't it? And obviously in the Runaway Bride, it's flying down the motorway, isn't it? If I remember
that
right.
Is the worst bit they've ever done in New Who.
I know. I don't like that scene at all.
Wait, that's a Russell T. Davis bit.
It doesn't matter. It's still appalling.
Now, who's going to... how are they going to explain having to fix those bricks on the side of the council flat?
Exactly. It wasn't the post van moving as the TARDIS was flying towards it, and then it kind of like missed it, and then the postie just didn't get out and say, hold on a minute, I nearly got hit by that blue box which is standing over there.
Yeah.
Come out of nowhere. Sorry, I'm being you again, Kirby.
Oh, that's a postal van. I see ours are not that color.
Yes, it's a post office van.
Yes.
Or Royal Mail delivery.
I see that.
Good grief.
But yeah, I mean that's moving, isn't it, I think? Yeah. And then as I say, the TARDIS misses it just, and then the postman just kinda gets on with his post round, not thinking that he's just been hit by a big flying blue box from the fifties.
Anyway.
It would have got me.
The windows are the wrong size.
Are they?
And also, oh no. Good
crap. Anyway, so
a blink joke.
Immediately, they've got the Doctor in bed in a pair of one of, I presume, is it what whose pajamas are they? The typical Arthur Dent pajamas, but
the Howard's pajamas.
Howard's that
and
some fling
point,
of? Yeah, go on.
I need to mention the post that Ian Kirk put on
I was going
to
bring that up. Go ahead.
Go on.
Saying the Christmas Invasion, Staggering Stories have just released an audio commentary for this episode. They point out that the Doctor is wearing his own clothes when he collapses, and in bed, he's in pyjamas. Since Jackie asked, is there anything else he's got two of, I suppose that it's Rose that changes his clothes.
It's typical of them to steal our thunder, though, isn't it? I mean... doing an audio. Are we sort of combining with Staggering Stories or something? They happen to do an audio commentary on an episode we're doing a review of. It's very
I'm
naughty.
Not going anywhere near Staggering Stories.
They're very naughty.
Never heard of them. Yeah. Who are they?
I tend to not listen to audio commentaries in podcasts.
No, I don't. I have to say, I don't listen to... I listen to Staggering Stories in between audio commentaries, so it's a good show. I just don't want to... I don't want to sit down and watch a program listening to a podcast doing a commentary on it.
But we've done it.
That wasn't technically a commentary. That was just we happened to be reviewing the program while watching it. I know that for me that's not commentary because we sort of deviate and digress and stuff. But
so do they?
Do they? Oh, I don't know. I just do it for review purposes. It's like I fast forward for it until I get to the bits I want to talk about.
Yeah.
So that's not commentary, is it? That's review. But anyway, back to the show. Some mysterious alien Santa Claus things start appearing when the Doctor starts breathing out some strange Time Lordy sort of stuff.
You completely missed something.
Go on, tell me what I missed.
Well, you know who she is.
Eh? Who is?
The Prime Minister.
What?
It's what you missed. You missed the whole business with the Prime Minister, Harriet Jones. I know who you are.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Now, I've got issues there.
Have you?
That's way before the... that's even before the strange Santas.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I skipped past that bit. Was it an important bit, then?
Well, they were setting up the whole business with the satellite.
Oh, were they? Okay. Well, you've mentioned it now, so we'll move past that.
Yes, I've mentioned it.
But anyway, as I was saying, the Doctor still breathing out all this sort of strange stuff, and then we get the strange Santa Claus with their sort of trombones that appear to be weapons. Rose quickly realises there's something alien going on here, and they sort of leg it. And
one thing I like with the spinning Christmas tree
is
through the rest of the story, we keep seeing scenes of that doorway with the Christmas tree shape. Kind of cut out of it.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
It's amusing.
Yes. But they're just like the line when I think she says something on the line, I'm going to get killed by a Christmas tree. And I think Rose goes up to the Doctor and sort of shakes him, help us, help us. And as it's spinning towards them, and which is a particularly good, special effect. It does look quite effective, the way they film that and stuff. Yeah, he gets up and does something with a sonic screwdriver and looks really quite awesome.
Oh, Doctor, you sonicked it.
He just looks quite awesome, the way he looks. And also, I like the way he actually sits up and the look in his face when he does that.
And he looked young as well.
He did, yes. And his hair was a bit
young.
Because I was thinking about his hair, and there was a bit in the Christmas, the Children Need one, where he runs his fingers through his hair, and it does stick up in the more conventional 10th Doctor way. Now it's all sort of flat and un-10th Doctor-like, but I suppose, everybody has to have a bad hair day. So he suddenly gets up and starts wandering around for a few moments. And
then we have the direct reference. Is this where the Arthur Dent reference is? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
I love that.
Yeah, I thought people would like that. And I'm obviously, it was a homage to
the great Douglas Adams.
Which is also a bit weird, considering the great Douglas Adams was also a writer and script editor of Doctor Who. So it's a bit sort of strange mixture of fact and fiction there going on. But then, of course, we have that funny scene between the Doctor, who talks through his teeth quite a lot, when he just doesn't let Jackie shut, or Jackie doesn't let him say what he actually wants or actually needs.
Yeah.
She keeps on interrupting him and stuff. But it's a good scene, though. Well played by the two of them. I think, don't they, at this point, drag him to the TARDIS?
They
take him back to bed initially.
Bed, yeah.
But there's a point in which they decide that...
Oh, that's Cardiff Castle, isn't it?
What's Cardiff Castle?
So they're driving up to what is unit headquarters.
Oh, yes. Well, Cardiff Castle is a sort of a regular extra in Doctor Who, as is the Millennium Stadium.
No, it's just I just noticed that they had grabbed it there. Now, was this our first reference to unit?
Yeah.
Yes, it was. Although,
yay!
Was there not a reference to it in Aliens of London? I can't remember now.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry, I forgot.
It may have been a reference to it, but you never actually saw anything to do with it, did you?
Was it the time the name was changed? How the unit was... Because they had to change it from not United Nations Intelligence Task Force or Unified.
Not sure if they make it direct... Yeah, I'm not sure if they name it here, although the unit logo is all over the place.
Yeah.
Here, and of course we didn't see it. Oh, Robert's online.
I was thinking about time too. But anyway, this is the fit where Mickey's at the computer.
Let's pretend we're just finishing just as they come on.
Yeah. And so, right.
No, that is an entirely different thing.
We're finishing the podcast. So that to rather sums up the... What was the episode called?
Great, wasn't it?
What was the episode called again?
The Christmas Invasion.
Hello. Yes. Hello, Robert. And all in all, brilliant episode. So thanks, everybody, for joining us on the podcast this week.
Don't forget the sponsors, whowon.co.uk.
Yeah, and I thought everything's gone really well, and not very many interruptions this week. Don't know what happened to Reese. But
it's incredible how quickly you can get it done when you're not being interrupted by two Aussies the whole time, isn't it?
I've got bloody volume down.
Did you swear? Hello. Robert, did you swear on my podcast then? See, what?
No.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on where?
Back into what we were talking about.
What were you talking about?
That's it, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. we're talking about an episode called The Christmas Invasion.
Did you forget the clocks went forward in our country, Robert?
Did you forget also that...
God. Yes.
Did we talk about the Children in Need special?
Yes.
Yes. About half an hour ago.
Yeah.
Oh.
Go on then. Okay. Quickly talk about the Children in Need thing, because none of the others. I did try and spur some reaction from the two of them. Ben didn't watch it, and Kirby forgot. So have a go then, Robert.
I watched it. I actually watched it.
I know. I'm joking, Kirby.
Oh. all I can say is that you can see it's just recorded at the end of the last episode, can't you? And just sort of like tacked on as a special.
I got the impression it was recorded at the beginning or during the same recording block as the Christmas Invasion and tagged on.
Yes, I got that impression.
Yeah,
too,
I didn't think it was recorded anywhere.
Reference to a hairstyle change that I did not see.
Oh.
I just looked at it again and I don't see it.
All right, fair enough. I'll stand corrected.
But I will say something.
Yes?
That his initial post-regeneration, when he's saying, faster, faster.
Yes.
The way he was acting towards Rose was very Colin Baker, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Good point. With Perry at the beginning. That's what it reminded me of. Oh, Reese is online.
this will be interesting. We've just finished it again. Here we go again. Right, hang on.
Anyway, I thought the end credits were really, really good, and I thought the story in a whole. Yeah.
But talking about the end credits, it was a particularly interesting thing about the end credits. It's the first time that the Doctor was called the Doctor in the end credits.
Because
up to then he was called Doctor Who, so they went back to call him the Doctor in the end credits. But
Who finally noticed that and decided to complain about it?
Who complained about it?
I think David Tennant was the one who insisted on that, because he came in as being an absolute Doctor Who.
Oh, Reese is there. Hello, Reese.
Yes, I am. Hello.
Nice of you to join us.
So to sum up, Reese, what do you think?
we just finished reviewing Christmas Invasion and stuff, and just wondered what you thought of it.
You having me on?
Well, you're obviously here, so we are having you on.
Certainly be better than having you on.
You know what I mean.
And the other question was, of course, did you forget that the clocks went forward last week?
No, I didn't.
You didn't, that's right.
So why are you late then?
why are the two of you late?
No, I tell you why, because I've been to the hospital.
Always have to throw that one in, don't you?
100 and something kilometres away. Oh.
Next door?
Right, how many... Put your hands up if you're feeling a bit guilty now.
No, not at all. I should be in the hospital now with my bad back.
Why is it late?
Because our clocks haven't changed, but yours have.
Not our fault.
So you did forget.
No, I wasn't informed.
Oh, for God's sake, we talked about this last week.
We've been talking about it all the time. That's why I haven't been on for the full 2 hours for the past.
And I was
weeks.
At drama class.
Oh, well, that's what I predicted might be the reason. Oh,
okay. But I suppose. Our clocks will be changing soon, so it'll be all right. It'll be back to normal next time.
Excellent. Doesn't matter, though. We've only got into... we've done most of the show, actually. But we've only got up to the bit where... Hang on, let's see if I can recap. The bit where Mickey's at the computer looking at the animated, the poorly rendered animated pilot fish and sharks.
Someone was going to comment on that.
But I was just mentioning that these fish are very similar to the fish. Well, actually, somebody mentioned in feedback. Was it Richard? I'm pretty sure it was Richard Culp mentioned in feedback that it was very similar to the fish from the first one with the 11th
Christmas
Doctor.
Christmas Carol.
That's the one. Yeah. There was
Because of the shark. And also, do you know BBC Wales actually did all the news graphics as well for
I didn't know that. I take it you've been watching with infotext or commentaries or something.
They don't have infotext on
the
DVDs.
They don't have infotext.
Do they not? Well, they should do. I suppose they will do a re-release then. A re-release at some point with the infotext on, because obviously...
That's one thing that disappoints me with the current Doctor Who. There's no infotext.
Mm, I agree.
It's getting worse with no confidential, too.
Now, I thought they might be bringing back a thing like confidential, but with a new name. Maybe they will. But we'll see what happens
behind the scenes.
One. Yeah, something like that.
They need somebody to follow them and give us some
background. I agree. I 100% agree. Yeah. But anyway, back to the episode.
Can I just say something that's really annoying me right now?
Oh, dear.
We had a blackout at drama class, and it stopped halfway through, and I've been here for half an hour pretty much waiting to get on the computer.
You donut.
My mum's been on the computer. there was a blackout throughout the whole town, and we had to cut class short, so I've been waiting for about half an hour to get on here, and you've been chatting.
Yes,
damn it,
that's very good.
Anyway, next week will be fine.
It will. That's good. Yes, but oh, good grief, I've lost where I was on this blooming thing now. What was I talking about before?
Mickey looking at the screen with the poorly rendered pilot fish. And
we've gone past that. But we got the bit with the Sycorax. Mickey's watching that, but then we get the little bit of the Sycorax coming on the TV screen, don't we?
Did anyone? Yes, I was about to mention that. Did anyone watch the? Outtakes.
No, yes. Didn't watch the outtakes. We'll watch them at some point.
They do Bohemian Rhapsody with the
cigarette. Oh, do they? No, I haven't seen that. I'll have to watch that, I must admit. But I just thought it was quite interesting that obviously this is analogue TV they're watching.
Bear in mind,
this was 7 years ago.
And also, you missed a bit where Mickey came into the front room and said to Jackie, I'm just going to use the phone line.
Yes.
For the
it's
internet.
It's so dated, isn't it? It's brilliant. So dated.
It's of its time, and I love that about it.
That's like Doctor Who. Doctor Who's been like that all the time.
I agree.
I've just watched the Children in Need one. It was very good.
Thank you, Ben. Did you watch a Children in Need episode, Reese?
Yes, I did.
And what did you think?
I thought that it was a
perfect
example.
Don't go on about it, mate. Seriously.
Would you like to go first, Ben?
No, he's already been.
I just said it was very good.
Been all over.
Okay. I thought it was a perfect example of how dramatic a writer RTD could be. Just, it's a tiny little short, yet it had a lot of drama and tension in there.
And a lot of character building as well.
Yes.
Especially for the 10th Doctor.
If
also,
Russell T. Davis ever came back to Doctor Who, would they call it R2-D2?
That joke was used last week or the week before. Wasn't that...
I said something about
I thought Kirby said that. Not Kirby.
No, I said...
Ian Kirk.
I said something about R2-D2.
Yeah, but you know how much I listen to this podcast.
Yes. That's quite interesting that, really, when that you're revealing how much you listen to the podcast. So basically I can put anything in it and you...
You could edit everything I say. Yes. Something completely different.
I could actually edit anything you say around to make it sound like I think that Stephen Moffat is absolutely superb.
Right.
So what I do, take you to talking about RTD, take you talk about Stephen Moffat, just take the O words RTD out and stick Stephen Moffat in that sentence.
Stephen Moffat.
Yeah, no,
all
Stephen.
Right, but if Russell T. Davis came back to Doctor Who, would they call it R2-D2?
The cool thing for me this week is I've got half a show to listen to that I'm not on.
More than that, I'm afraid. We've been on here for an hour.
Same with me, Reese.
Okay.
I've only been on about 5 minutes more than you.
Both the Aussie boys couldn't be bothered today. Too busy watching Australian rules football or something.
No, being frustrated that my drama class ended early. That's what I've been doing.
Well, how were you showing your frustration? Was it as a tree?
No.
Oh.
I thought that's extraordinarily funny.
Anyway, back to Dr. Blimming Who. There's a nice-looking blonde bird. There's a nice-looking blonde bird on it. She was very nice.
Can I say something? Because you just mentioned about back to Doctor Who.
Yes.
During the commentary, with the InVision commentary, which I don't remember there was an InVision commentary when I first watched the commentary, but they were talking about...
Say commentary.
Commentary.
Okay, carry on.
Commentary.
Julie Gardner, when that line came up, Jackie says, Doctor Who?
Yeah.
He says, you just have to put that in, don't you? Julie said.
Yeah.
And he says, well, it's... And they were sort of like joking about it, like, we really like that joke, and it's...
Yeah, but in those days, hadn't been used as much as it has been used recently.
But they still would have thought it was fun.
They have used in the old series, though.
Not that often.
Still see him sitting there.
Goes to the clock. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Back to the clock.
Back to Doctor Who. The government, in inverted commas, are monitoring this Sycorax messages and stuff while the Doctor's still sort of having a... while the Doctor's still having a bit of a nap, and Adam Garcia, who's a very talented tap dancer apparently, has some access to some sort of translation device.
Adam Garcia.
Yes, Adam Garcia. Yeah.
Really?
Really. He's the sidekick of the Prime Minister in this particular episode. Yeah.
He's the bloke off the dancing show.
He's
the
bloke
off
the Sky One dance programme called...
Which, really? Is it?
God, you learn something new every day.
Is it Got to Dance or something like that?
Yeah. I'm made to watch that by the wife, and I never realised it was him.
Good show, yes, I enjoy
that. That's two weeks, isn't it?
Is that character... Go ahead.
It was the what's her name? Linda with a Y last week. It was in EastEnders, and I never realised.
Yeah.
God, I'm so
well, things always happen in threes, so hopefully something else will come
along. I'll tell you the third thing.
What?
I'm going out for a fag.
Oh, for God's sake. So anyway, this translation device, did they acquire it from Torchwood?
I think it might have been Unit.
Yeah.
I mean, now, does that character, is he working for the Prime Minister or is he working for Unit?
I don't know.
I thought the Prime Minister.
I'm not
because,
sure.
Because, yeah, during the commentary, they referred to him as the Prime Minister's.
Okay, word again.
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. Now, just going back to the thing, yeah. Somebody was mentioned earlier on about the Christmas tree shape going through the door, which I quite like attention to detail. But just after that clip, there's a shot of the clock of the Houses of Parliament. Apparently, they want to try and change the name to Elizabeth Tower or something absurd. With the scaffolding on it, which, again, attention to detail in regards to.
I enjoyed that bit too.
Yes. I hadn't noticed that. No. Guess who noticed that when we were watching it?
Alicia?
Correct!
Yay, we all got it.
So, it's after that point.
I was going to say, another note was something like attention to detail.
Yes.
One thing that they mentioned during the commentary, Reese, was that, you know how they had people standing on the roofs?
Yes.
When they showed, I think it was the Rose and the others looking up at that spaceship arriving, they showed the top of the what's their tower where they live?
I can't remember what it's called.
They said, when they watched it back, they said they should have had people standing on there because they didn't when they showed them looking up at the spaceship. Mm-hmm. And they were set. They reckon that when I first watched it, I didn't notice it, but when they brought it up in the commentary, she said, Julie Gardner said that really bugged her. But then RTD says, well, they could be standing on the other side.
Yeah, that's true. also,
so Julie Gardner is the Kirby of the production crew, because RTD represents the rest of us.
That's probably true.
I didn't realize there was commentary on this disc.
There are. It's definitely commentary.
It's fiction too. So
is this the one we get to see? Is it this disc we get to see Beth Willis's rather splendid thighs, or is that the previous disc set of discs? I can't remember. Anyway,
it's later on. Oh, it is later. That's the 11th Doctor.
Oh, of course it is.
Hold on.
Yes.
Adam Garcia has an Australian accent normally.
Yes, he does. Yes. Doesn't in this
was
story, though.
Is he Australian? He
I'm not too sure.
I've never heard an Australian person do an English accent before.
Okay. Can we return to the show? Right. Now, I'm pretty sure it was Mary earlier on asked about the attire. That, bear in mind, this is Christmas and everybody's wearing clothes. But the trouble is, I think she might be referring to the bit where they all get summoned to the roofs and they just walk out of their buildings. They're all in a trance, aren't they? So they wouldn't have thought, I'll put my coat on and then go to stand on a building. So this explains why they're not wearing winter.
I'd have been there for ages, putting on my scarf and my coat and my gloves and my hat and everything.
Mm.
Extra pair of thermal leggings.
I've got something else about that, though. You don't see any steam from their breath as though it's cool. I mean,
well done, Kirby. You have got some competition here.
So that's another thing. That's just what you get, though, when you record in June or July, whenever they recorded the episode.
Oh, yeah, the other thing I noticed, I did eventually at one point watch The Confidential on these a long time ago. You see the same people when they're standing at the top of the building, there's like a repeat of people wearing the same clothes, so it's the same people stepped. Mm. And you only see that if you pause it. You can say, they're there. And they do use that process in Doctor Who a lot, especially in
the Daleks last.
Sorry?
They did it with the
Carry on, Robert.
No, Rick said it's... I was going to say, they do that duplication with the Daleks last week as well.
Yeah.
When you see them all surrounding the Doctor, so... Yeah,
yeah, as I say, and also the episode, the Time Lord one. What's it called? Last of the Time Lords. Was that... No,
yes,
not Last of... No, the one where...
And the Sycorax.
No, the one... The Tenth Doctor's last story, what was that called?
End of Time.
End of Time, yeah. Oh. With the multiplied masters on it. They use the same process for that.
On the building.
Yeah. But anyway.
Did he get paid overtime for that?
Can't wait for that episode to come, because I just love the way he did all those different characters.
Very funny as well.
Busy day for him. Busy day.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anyway, back to Doctor Who. We did discuss. We did gloss over a part where Rose is listening to the Doctor's hearts. Well, I just wanted to mention that now, so as.
What else has he got two of? You.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
There's the Envision commentary.
But I was so in character with...
They hid that commentary. I see where it is.
Two hands, two arms, two legs.
Two eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Two feet.
Yeah,
two nostrils.
He has got two of quite a lot of things, actually, Jackie.
He's got two teeth.
Two testicles?
He's got more than two teeth.
I mentioned testicles already.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
I didn't hear it.
And what about the bit where all the glass falls off the gherkin? There's a big sort of earthquake.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. Don't quite
know. Then they spoil it by showing other shots and there's no broken glass.
Yeah, well done. Yeah. Oh, I'll tell you, Kirby, I think you're going to have to give up.
I'm not finicky like that. I mean, it didn't bother me, so. We know their budget.
Robert, I'm sorry, Reese, that bit of music you were just durring, what was that in relation to?
It's the Star Trek.
No, I know what the music is, but I'm just going to the relevance to the pedantry of Robert. Sorry, please.
The Battle of the Nerds.
Yeah.
Kirby and Robert being pedantic.
I like that. That's really good. Now, if we were doing the point system that I was, the QI type point system that I was going to adopt at the beginning of the episode if everybody turned up on time, that would have earned quite a lot of points. But anyway, they got beamed up, don't they, to the Sycorax rock ship thing.
Yeah.
Then my favourite line of the whole episode comes along.
Harriet Jones, Prime Minister. Yeah.
Yes, we know who you are.
I was going to use that joke when you introduced yourself, Adam, at the beginning of the podcast, but I was a bit of a... I didn't turn
I did use that joke, actually, Reese.
Yeah, so...
Okay.
I didn't really, but you won't ever know that because you don't listen back either.
Ben, it's you that doesn't listen back. You go, whoa, that would make a change.
You'd be pedantic? What?
I much doubt it.
I'm going through the episode here, and we referenced where the ship materializes, and there's that kind of sonic boom, and
yes.
All the glass gets broken and everything. Why don't any of the people on the edge of the building fall off?
Wow, that's another very good point.
I'll tell you, they mentioned it in the commentary, and they said it was because they're in a trance. That they were controlled to not.
Okay.
That was their excuse for their shaking. Really, it was just a production oversight.
Okay. But some people might say, and probably the Doctor Who podcast, who hate RTD and love Stephen Moffat, will probably say it was just rubbish writing.
How come the TARDIS windows didn't shatter and all the other windows did?
Is it TARDIS?
The TARDIS is just TARDIS. It's a chameleon, isn't it? So it's not really glass.
And anyway. It can rebuild itself anyway, so...
Yes.
Just like shopping
around. The one scene, there's a very quick shot of the Sycorax ship approaching, and you're seeing it from behind the Winston Churchill statue. It's great. It's at 30 minutes, 14 seconds.
Who are you?
Excellent. Anyway, back to the story. Obviously, the Prime Minister and her little cronies are in a thing, and this gives the baldy, beardy bloke a chance to get Dalek. They use the same effect. Baldy, beardy bloke.
Danny Llewellyn.
Yeah,
Llewellyn.
Anyway, he gets done in by the Sycorax whippy thing. but it's the same effect for the Dalek gun, isn't it? Not the actual thing, but the skeleton falling thing.
Yeah. Except for green.
Yeah, maybe so. But I just thought it's funny, this little pile of bones and the steam that's sort of coming up from it.
They actually said they had a lot of fun with the bones. They said they absolutely laughed their heads off when they're stringing these bones up to collapse.
Yeah.
And they said the head was spinning around and all this kind of stuff. Everybody just cracked up.
Spinning around.
Well, they should have kept that in. It's also interesting to see that Adam Garcia using his iPod to read off what the Sycorax is saying. At this point, of course, the Doctor is carried into the TARDIS, Jackie brings along a packed lunch.
Isn't Rose strong?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I bet she is.
Yeah, so they carry him into the TARDIS. Jackie brings a packed lunch, but then goes back to the flat to get some more stuff, by which time the TARDIS is beamed up. It's also noticed that the iPod that Adam Garcia is using is made by HP, Hewlett-Packard. So, obviously, did they get some money from Hewlett-Packard have their loan?
Hewlett-Packard?
Well, them.
Yes.
I was thinking of Captain Picard from Star Trek. Them. Do you reckon they got some money for having the logo? This is a BBC programme, and they're having a hypothetical device with a branded logo on it. That's quite interesting.
It was probably Hewlett-Packard. Well, that's why they got away with it.
But there it says, and also, the, if you look at it... Now, so I'll allow you to speak in a minute. But if you look at what the other bit of blurb on the gadget, it's got IPAQ, I-P-A-Q, on it. That's obviously...
I pack my lunch.
Was there an actual device called the HP IPAQ? Bearing in mind that the iPod was probably a new device in 2000.
I'm guessing that they were probably taking the mickey and using some sort of branded reference and changing it so it wasn't actually called Thorn.
But would would the BBC have got some money from HP?
No, they wouldn't have done.
Yeah, okay. Oh, wow. Well, they've probably
called product placement, and it's only been allowed for the last 8 months.
Mind you, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation gets the credit at the end, so...
Somewhere along the line, with the TARDIS... Kirby, I forgot you were trying to interrupt me. Carry on.
Well, no, this is a different interruption.
IPAQ
presently refers to a pocket PC and personal digital assistant first unveiled by Compaq in April 2000. The name was borrowed from Compaq's earlier IPAQ desktop computers. And then HP acquired Compaq.
So
this is actually old technology for the time.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I asked. But anyway, the TARDIS is transported to the ship, leaving Jack behind. But somewhere along the line, a little flask containing tea falls over and starts sizzling to the underside of the
TARDIS.
Oh, was it Mickey?
Because remember, he heard Rose scream and she got captured.
Oh, I see. And all this steam starts coming out from underneath the Doctor.
Conveniently hitting a hot part of the TARDIS.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah.
Rose obviously runs out and gives the Prime Minister a big cuddle. The Doctor starts writhing on the floor.
Like
his Adam's apple starts moving. and some more Time Lord energy comes out of his mouth.
Yeah.
But I quite like the scene coming up here when the Sycorax does his big speech and gradually it starts turning into English.
Oh, yeah.
I love
and you know that...
it's brilliant.
Yeah, obviously the TARDIS and the Doctor are recovering unbeknownst to them. But I just love that, the way that works, the way that scene's strung together.
And that Sycorax leader had to learn all those fancy words too.
Yeah.
To sound...
Yeah. Mm. Well, yeah, you don't think of that though, do you? When you're watching it, you just think, that's really good.
He did such a good job though, I thought. And to come suddenly sounding English. And you're like, how he's reading out that he's what he's saying.
Then he realises,
If you remember when they were doing that bit, the Sycorax leader was kind of going, and then he took a deep breath. And then he started speaking English.
Yeah.
So it wasn't as though he kind of like went in mid-sentence, was it?
No, no. Well, I just thought it was great. It's one of my favourites.
Like
sorry? But anyway, so obviously this leads up to the Doctor, and obviously you have the silly scene with the doors opening, and he's just standing there.
Before you get to that, there's the great business where Rose, referred to as the Yellow Girl, starts this bluffing where she just brings up all these things, all the authority
That's all very good.
I love
good.
The way that, as you were saying, about the Potomac's character volume,
she
closed her eyes to concentrate on saying it properly.
Yeah, right. Oh, right. I didn't think that was that relevant, but there you go.
Oh, the Dalek.
It's obviously relevant to you, and I apologise. Right. Can I move on now?
Probably about three seconds before someone else.
Anyway, the doors open. They look behind, and the doors open inwards.
Hold on.
About that. Go on, then.
They wanted that to be a motion control shot, but when it came to trying to get the gear in the caves, it couldn't fit in. So they promised that for Series 2, they would actually have a motion control shot. So that's something to look out for this series.
Yes, okay. Well, thank you, Robert. You will be the one looking out for it.
Did you notice the Sycorax leader stepping out? I mean, that Sycorax holding, I think, Rose, was it?
The Prime Minister
out of the way for the camera.
He did?
Yes.
And then the Doctor stood there.
And you just reminded me, this is the same caves that we saw in Flesh and Stone.
Can somebody answer me, when the Sycorax, he throws his whip at the Doctor and the Doctor just grabs it. Yeah. So how come that didn't...
Now, how come he doesn't get zapped?
Yeah, that's exactly. Oh, that's the reason why.
Was he in the TARDIS threshold? He's protected.
No, but that doesn't work. We discovered last week because the TARDIS materialised over the Dalek and Rose, and Jack blasted the Dalek to smithereens from within the TARDIS. So we know that that.
The Doctor has. And they had that force field.
That's what I was just going to mention, but I think it's probably the same reason that the translation circuit wasn't working, because the Doctor was, as Rose pointed out, out of it.
Yeah.
And so therefore, without that connection there, I think the whole, translation device and force field around the TARDIS, therefore, was nullified until the Doctor came back round. But when he did come back round, it didn't seem to work anyway. So they conveniently forgot about that.
The only other thing that might explain why he didn't get frazzled was because he was still regenerating and he just absorbed the energy. Carry on.
I think.
Oh, Monty Panesar!
So do you.
He's put down two catches in two overs, and that one was easy.
Go on, Kirby.
Who's playing?
Roberts!
Sorry, Kirby.
It's been long established that the Doctor can take electrocution.
Genesis of the Daleks, remember?
Yeah.
And, he's trying to climb that
and also remember when later in this series he's going to be at the top of that radio transmission tower.
The wire.
Muppets in Manhattan. Daleks in Manhattan.
Yeah.
Muppets in Manhattan.
Did you say Muppets in Manhattan?
So that's what's going
on.
That's
what the episode reminds me of.
It's just that the whip is electric.
Okay.
So he's absorbing the electricity like a Time Lord should.
Okay.
Okay. Fair enough.
Back to the episode. I did refer earlier on to the Children Need Special bit where the Doctor talks a bit about what he looks like. But the scene they put into this story is where he's asking Rose what he looks like. So she's sort of explaining to him what he looks like. So basically,
ginger.
If you watch the two episodes, ginger. They do that. They do it. That is the second time we've seen this happen. So, but it doesn't matter.
I do love the little bit when he just after he walks out and he's telling the Sycorax off, and he goes, "I'm busy."
Yes.
Well, I like the bit where he imitates the.
Tell me who you are.
Yeah, that bit. I love that bit. That's really good. And you can see the expression on Rose's face when he does that, the little smirk she gives. She's really loving it.
Hello.
Yeah. And he calls him Mickey, not Ricky.
One of my favourite scenes ever, him just saying, who am I? Am I a rude doctor? Am I a talkative doctor? Judging by what I'm saying, I'm definitely a gabbler.
And also the bit where he goes up to that button and he says, oh, it's a great big red button. That is quite similar to the human nature bit, isn't it? When you shouldn't have let me press all these, sort of thing.
Yes.
And then, of course, there's the Lion King reference. I love that.
Yeah, that was really good, yeah. But again, that's just RTD dropping.
Realizing it's from the Lion King when he's nodding along, when he's saying the speech. Before he realizes it's from the Lion King.
Basically, when the Doctor presses the button, he disconnects the blood control. Because that's one thing I haven't mentioned before. Blood control. Mm-hmm. They control all the A positives, I think it was, wasn't it?
I love the way when he tastes it, he just goes, blah, yeah.
You know, there was supposed to be a scene where...
Knocked the microphone.
When Jackie's trying to help the Doctor, apparently she gave him some shampoo. In what they would have shown if they hadn't cut things out. And the Doctor would have come out of the TARDIS saying something about shampoo tasting nice and then tasting the blood and saying, oh, they go well together or something like that.
Well, that would have been consistent with the fish fingers and custard.
Fish fingers and custard sound normal.
Yeah. But anyway, this leads up to the Doctor challenging the Sycorax leader bloke, and they go for a little fight with the swords, which is all.
Oh, that was terrible.
Which is a bit.
I like it.
Cheesy, a bit cheesy, but nevertheless, it's quite entertaining. Of course, that obviously then leads up to...
It was supposed to be a lot longer, too, in the original cut.
Well,
I'm glad it wasn't. But they cut. Thank you. That's what she said, even.
The long shot of the Sycorax standing around the cave, you could just imagine weeping angels on those same ledges. Isn't it amazing?
Of course, the hand then grows back.
With the sword fight was after the Doctor had his hand cut off and Rose chucked him the other sword. Now, when the Sycorax leader and the Doctor are fighting with these swords, they're obviously very heavy implements, but when Rose decides to chuck him one-handed,
it
flies across directly to him.
Yeah.
She's a very strong girl.
She is.
And do you know how we get that long shot of also the London area? They
filmed it.
In the commentary, they mentioned an EastEnders reference, you know, because of the start of EastEnders being that map. I don't know.
That's a good try. Because when we watched it, Alicia went, doof, 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 doof. Because when she's not on the podcast, she can actually be quite funny. Anyway, there's the bit where the Doctor does this planet, will tell your friends this planet is defended and stuff like that. Through his teeth, as he often does, and continue to do.
Yeah. That's true. Yes.
This planet is defended. That's right, and then walks off. Then, of course,
that was a really good impression of Louis Spence you just did then.
Louis Spence, that is. Anyway.
I've just ruined my laptop. I'm just spat
all over. No second chances. I'm that kind of man.
Oh, yeah.
So she said. After he'd thrown the orange at the
Button.
Satsuma.
That just happened to
release a little bit of floor.
Would they have a button for that, though, that would release? Let's make a button to release a bit of the floor. That's the second time I've just knocked the microphone twice with a remote control.
I bring the voice out of you, don't I?
Yes. of course, then we have the big speech to the cigarettes. This planet's offended, blah, 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 and leave it go and leave it in peace.
The planet's offended? Blah,
blah, blah. Defended! And they get beamed back to Earth. And then Harriet Jones gets in contact with Captain Jack.
Yes,
Does she indeed?
No.
It wasn't Captain Jack.
Oh, no, sorry, his associates.
Yeah, this is Torchwood 1.
All right, it's Torchwood 1. Anyway, she tells them to blow up the spaceship. Which rather upsets the Doctor.
Yes, he wasn't very pleased,
was a bit grumpy about it, to be honest with you.
It was a bit ticked off, yeah.
Yeah, and again, that was consistent with what Eccleston's version of the Doctor would have been.
But I think this bit leads into what could be quite easily a moral debate on whether it should be okay to kill aliens after they've tried to kill you.
And they were running
away. What do you think?
Ben, as long as you don't have a debate about maths, because what then would it be?
Well, it would be a. that will have to be bleeped. I apologise.
Thank you for that. But anyway, so the Doctor's a bit hacked off with Harriet Jones.
This whole business with bringing down Harriet Jones also creates a continuity issue because. The Doctor's already referred to Harriet Jones as being a great Prime Minister.
Yeah, but she was a great Prime Minister, apparently, up to that point.
But the other thing I've got an issue with is the fact that...
To be rewritten.
Yes.
In the time that it took the Doctor... Well, the time it took Rose to, at the end of the Parting of the Ways, to get in the TARDIS as, you know, after she's consumed the Time Vortex, go back to the Doctor on Satellite 5, 10, 15, Game Station, Game Shops, whatever it was called, have the thing sucked out of her by the Doctor... I know, kids. Calm down. Let's not be childish about this. And then,
please still my beating heart.
And then you had the 7 minutes of the Children in Need episode. In that time, Harriet Jones there'd been a general election, which, as we know, always takes place on a Thursday, won that election. And
they never could get the hang of Thursdays.
Been in power for a considerable time before the Doctor and Rose reappeared.
Kirby,
you didn't mention
Arthur Dent.
He did, but you weren't here.
Arthur Dent.
Because he says when he's putting the dressing gown on, he says...
Did I miss that?
No, you weren't here. You weren't here when we...
Okay, sorry.
It's a real character, too. He says, nice man.
Mm. I like that, yeah.
But anyway, the words he says, don't you think she looks tired? Now, people say that about me all the time. So far, I'm still doing this podcast.
They don't
your reign on this podcast will be overthrown.
Now you're team leader.
Yeah.
Yes, now you've got to make sure that people put the bread in the right place on the shelves. Don't
you know, Jackie's rather rude in this. Was this a family show? She comes out, she sees the Prime Minister and goes... It's the bleeding Prime Minister.
Yeah.
He's the bleeding rude. The gore-blimey governor.
That's just how Jackie is, though, isn't it?
Anyway, go on then. I made a good point. Everyone seemed to scuttle over it.
Yeah, what's your good point? Sorry, I've forgotten it.
The amount of time that the Doctor and Rose were away was minimal. Yeah. And yet, in that time, there was an election, and Harriet Clinton had become a very good prime
minister. Yeah, that is referred to as a bit of a cock-up.
No, I agree with Adam.
I agree.
I understand that there's a time machine in Doctor Who. I have watched it once.
Yeah.
But that is a way of explaining it. I was just being pedantic.
But, no, you were not.
We had all the bit with Mickey a couple of weeks ago saying to Rose, "Oh, you've been gone." Blah 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 blah.
I'll let you carry on talking for a bit because I've just got to start cooking the dog's dinner. I was told to start at half an hour early by she who must be obeyed. I'll be back very shortly. Carry on.
That reminds me of Castle. But, yeah, so again, you've got this thing where you're not meant to be missed if you kind of, like, leave on a Thursday at 1 o'clock and come back at 1:05. Nothing, you know, you've missed nothing. But apparently, once you're involved in the TARDIS, time continues as normal and you're away for ages and people miss you. How does that work? I don't get that.
No, only for the people...
You see, that's the point. The fact no one's answering it, I'll take it there's a very good point that no one's got an answer to.
Silence has just fallen.
Silence.
Now, how many times on these Christmas specials?
Twice.
Do
42.
It snows when it's not really snow.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah, because in this case, it's a spaceship.
Which wouldn't have happened because it was way too far out into space when it got blown out. Oh, excuse me,
But he said, I can explain that, Ben, because there's no resistance in space, being a vacuum, so particles have nothing to slow them down except for when it enters the atmosphere. So they'd They start off as big chunks, but they get broken down. So when it comes to Earth, all that's left is just little ashy bits.
Very good.
Of the Christmas special.
Yeah, they had to have some sort of snowy-like substance in it somewhere along the line.
If that was the situation, then surely the whole planet, or at least half of the planet that was facing it was blown up, would have also been covered in all the fake snow stuff.
That's very true.
Did it snow in The Runaway Bride?
I can't remember. I'll have to look at that next time. In about 12, 13 weeks' time.
And dissipated into a kind of snowy thing.
Have you glossed over the bit where the Doctor's looking for a new costume? Have you gone past that bit?
Yeah.
We have.
Okay.
That was a great bit.
We haven't.
Iconic scenes of the Doctor.
Oh, there it is.
But what was it?
One of the scarves was actually Phil Collinson's.
Yeah, but somebody did all point somebody, out was the wrong scarf.
There and he didn't realise he was going to be wearing it or something.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'm a bit confused about that, and I am turning into Kirby a little bit, which I apologise, is that while he was looking through all of these costumes and all of the racks and all of the rails in the TARDIS costume room, he ended up picking a suit and a coat that were right next to each other.
How brilliant the actual costume room looked, the wardrobe room, obviously, as they call it. That we saw a different part of the TARDIS during this era.
I'm upset you didn't go for the light blue and lime green costume that you saw at the bottom left-hand of the screen.
The spiral staircase looks superb.
You could also have a look at that bit and think, oh, they've moved the console out the way.
Yeah, I know. Never mind.
He picked up his costume from Casanova.
Yeah, that's true.
Did he? Spotted. I didn't see that one.
Do you know that apparently there was a costume from every single Doctor in there as well?
Yeah, I suppose there probably
was. You'd have to freeze frame
it. But you didn't see any of it, did you? I mean, all the Man United kits from 1992 were also in there, but you didn't see that.
No.
So anyway, what do we think then of this episode? How it rates?
Maybe I should go over and get one of my hats from my Christmas crackers, since they're all wearing their hats.
Indeed. Well, that's just everybody does on Christmas. Even the dogs wear Christmas cracker hats on Christmas Day.
It was certainly the best Christmas episode at that time.
It was. But, I mean, how do you think it compares with things that have followed it?
At the very end, when they're watching the news coverage where the Prime Minister is her health is being questioned, the Doctor pulls out his brainy specs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. They made their debut then, didn't
so
they?
So we've got to look out for his for this first use of the phrase, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, and this allongé. So we'll look out for that in future episodes. But it's also, they are looking a bit chillier now, because obviously, back to Mary's reference on their isn't it cold at Christmas in the UK, in this last scene, they do look quite chilly, because Jackie's hugging herself, Rose is wearing a parka, so they do.
And while you were making the dog's dinner, we were referring to the snow.
I've made it. I've just put it on. Yeah, no, I did hear that bit. I did come back.
I love the way that Australians say the word debut.
How do they say
debut? He's got a debut. Right? It's his debut. He took a hat trick on his debut.
Get my debut out of this.
I love it.
So
that's a French word, actually.
Thank you. Okay, let's move on from
debut.
Yeah, all right, thank you. I'll move
on. What about Chuzzwather?
Moving on.
Who?
Never mind. Can we stop doing Scooby-Doo impressions and just get on with the program? Right. News. News, yes.
Oh, we're done?
Yeah, we're done, unless anybody's got anything more valuable to say. God's sake.
No, I was the only one who said it was good.
I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I just think...
I loved it. I think this is my favourite Christmas special.
Oh, no, it's my favourite, because there's not enough of the Doctor in it, for my liking, to be honest with you.
I think that's what made it really interesting.
It was interesting, but...
It was a bit like Castro Valva, which I hated when the Doctor wasn't the Doctor, then he was in that bloody Zero cabinet.
Yeah.
Zero cabinet. I mean,
he swore again. He swore
like
again.
That for me. And I did. I'm with you, Adam. There wasn't enough of the Doctor.
And I think what made it really
I enjoyed it, but I just didn't think there was enough Doctor in it. Carry on. Sorry, Ben.
It wasn't just the story. It wasn't just the way it was acted and the way it looked on. It was the actual fact that on Christmas Day in 2005, we had Doctor Who on telly,
yes,
which we never had before.
Indeed.
Also, did you hear that the BBC said, or the news said, now, just a few hours ago, the BBC showed the face of an alien, and I thought, well, they're getting used to that, aren't they?
Yeah. But also, the other thing we got was the preview of the forthcoming series after that. And,
yeah.
I remember how excited I was when they showed that on after the Christmas
Cyberman
special. Superb. Have we done with the Christmas Invasion? Can I get on with the news now?
Okay.
What do you think?
Yes, is the answer you're looking for. Paul McGann has joined the list of former Doctors and companions who have indicated an interest in being involved in Doctor Who's 50th anniversary. So good for him. Let's hope that actually happens. Paul McGann, who's played the Doctor.
But I saw some news saying that no one had asked him, though.
Nah, that doesn't
surprise me. I've seen the same thing.
A lot of people are going to do that, and they say, I'd like to be involved in it, just so as you know that I'm available, please pick me, and whether it happens or not.
Yeah, but that's how it works, isn't it? They say, I'd like to do it, and then
they don't get
asked.
Yeah, they don't get
asked. I'd like to have them in it.
Indeed.
And that's how it works. That's how...
Ben, they can always film them against the green screen and add them later to scenes, can't they now?
That's true.
So they don't have to be available to certain schedules, so then...
They could find a way, yeah. Jenna Louise Coleman, rather attractive young woman, has joined the cast of Doctor Who.
I thought you were going to say that.
We did mention this earlier on.
But much new light.
We did mention this earlier on, but Robert and Reese couldn't be bothered to turn up for that particular section.
I was at a bloody hospital.
Oh, dear. Did we swear? Did we not?
It looked really hot.
So go on, Reese. What do you think? She's a bit old for you, by the way. She's 10 years older than you, but what do you think, nevertheless?
Reese doesn't care.
She's about 30 years younger than you.
Well, I'm not of an opinion as to how pretty she is, but I'm just thinking that... she's sort
someone
of...
just fallen off.
I'll give up. No opinion, then, for Jenna Louise Coleman, who is, in fact, a very good actress.
You can't give an opinion. We haven't bloody seen her in it yet.
No,
that's what your I was
first...
going to say.
Well, we've got to talk about first opinions, because we always do this when a new character comes in. We did it with Karen Gillan. We did it with... What?
We know what
you
we
did it with Karen Gillan.
No, can I... Actually, we did do it Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan.
We did. Shush, we didn't do it with Karen Gillan, because the podcast hadn't started up when Karen Gillan was announced as the new companion. So this has got to happen.
The Karen Gillan thing, it'd have been the same thing. Oh, she looks quite fit. I bet she'll be great.
Well, she's quite pretty.
No. Stop irritating me.
No, I'm just asking how people feel about how she looks, you know, as a potential companion. Hey?
It's all right.
But when Catherine Tate got given the job as the companion, people were some people were exploding with rage about it because she's a comedy actress.
But people... Yeah, but people who do comedy are usually good dramatic actors.
Yeah, I know that. That's why I was quite pleased when Catherine Tate got the part.
That's a really bad example, though, mate. Because everyone, well, not everyone, the majority of people knew who Catherine Tate was and knew that she was a comedian.
Yeah.
This girl, what do we know about her? She was in Emmerdale Farm playing a lesbian. Have you ever seen Emmerdale Farm? I bloody never
Occasionally, and she was in Waterloo Road, yes.
One episode or two.
And she's currently in Titanic.
Rubbish.
Okay.
We don't know what she's going to be like. We don't know what
Titanic.
Well, I wish her luck, nevertheless.
Titanic
good luck, Jenna Louise Coleman.
We don't know what she's going to be. There's no point in sitting here saying, oh.
All right. We'll move on. I'm editing this bit out. Good luck to Jenna Louise Coleman. Good luck to Jenna Louise Coleman. And she doesn't know what she's let herself in for becoming into the world of Doctor Who.
Hello, Kirby.
Hello. Is this the first time that in the new series that a companion has been, an actress who's going to play the companion has been introduced where we don't know anything about the companion at all? Not even a name.
No, I'm not sure, because when Karen Gillan got the part, we found out in instant that she was called Amy Pond. But as far as anybody else goes, I don't know. I think that's a very. I don't think that has happened before, Kobe, to be honest with you.
Are we just talking about new Who?
Yes.
Or old Who as well?
All of it. I'm pretty sure we've always known what the companion's name is going to be.
Yeah.
Good point, Kirby.
I'll tell you what, though. We'll find out eventually.
We will. We will.
I was surprised they didn't announce it during the convention.
Yeah, good point again. Anyway, the official convention has sold out, so lucky people, you're going to that.
Why have they started doing Star Trek stuff as well?
Very good.
That'd be mean.
Production.
Already,
convention news. Doctor Who will return to America to shoot the final story that features Amy and Rory. They depart. The
and
series.
And
an epic battle
with
the Weeping Angels. Well, that's not much of a spoiler, is it?
No. Well, I like the speculation that the Statue of Liberty is a giant weeping angel. But
cool. That would be good, actually.
Since someone is always looking at it, it's time-locked.
Yeah. Brilliant.
What happens if it started moving with people inside it?
Then it would be like the next Doctor, then, wouldn't it? With the Cyberman
instantly get consumed.
I was thinking of Ghostbusters.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah, the marshmallow Stay Puft.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, I've just found something quite interesting about the new companion.
She's called Jenna Louise Coleman?
No, it says no word yet.
Can you make another Facebook page?
No, it says no word yet on the character's name, but Stephen Moffat also involved the crowd at the press launch for the next season of Doctor Who. It will air its first five episodes in the fall. This is an American website. Clearly, there's no such word as fall. It's autumn of 2012.
Yep.
Before taking a break, the couple's departure, i.e. Rory and Amy, comes in the fifth episode. This is Stephen Moffat speaking now. Amy and Rory will live in a final encounter with the Weeping Angels in episode 5 that no one's ever seen before. And it's an entirely new idea of mine that I've not nicked off anyone. Not everyone gets out alive, and I mean it this time, which basically means that Rory's going to die.
Yeah, or they just get transported to a different time period, like the Weeping Angels.
I love the
are
way
supposed
he says,
do.
"I really mean it this time."
Yeah, I really mean it this time.
The Christmas special in which Jenna makes
so the original idea of Rory getting killed happens for a change.
Wow!
Oh, hold on. Yeah. Wow. More stuff.
More. Yes.
Yeah. Moffat again.
Yep.
Who she's playing, how the Doctor meets her, and even where he finds her are all part of one of the biggest mysteries of the Time Lord ever encounters. Even by the Doctor's standards, this isn't your usual boy meets girl.
Right.
Enough.
Oh, maybe it's a regenerated Doctor's daughter, then, maybe.
Yeah. The Christmas special. Oh, don't start.
Yes! Oh,
the Christmas special, followed by the remaining 8 episodes of Season 7 in 2013. Other tidbits include season 7.
I'm swearing on my podcast.
Otherwise,
I had to swear, so you had to edit that out. Series 7 is all standalone episodes, although there is an overall arc. Oh, there's a surprise.
Oh, for God's sake, Moffat. Ruined it for me.
Lots of new Moffat.
We haven't seen it yet.
I'm sorry, I'm not having that. That's just... Really,
yeah, but
let me down.
It can't be standalone if it has an arc connected.
Yes. I am really disappointed.
We will see the Daleks again.
And
River Song.
Okay, and did I'm you say and River Song?
So River Song's back in the
I thought she might be. I did hear that particular part.
I'm wondering about these in the preview for the Old West theme episode. Those creatures are almost Borg-like. I wonder if they're like proto-Cybermen.
Oh. Is that on the Doctor.net page, is it?
I'll send you a link.
I put a link on the Facebook page.
Okay.
Excellent. Right. So that's sort of it for news and rather covering covering everything.
Oh, thank you. Oh, that's
for the
good.
Rest. No, it isn't. I think that was
a good looking trailer. Yeah, I'm really excited.
I haven't heard it yet clearly. I saw the shaky videos yesterday from people taking pictures of the screen.
That's an HD version of it, sir.
Yeah, I know. I linked on the Facebook page to the BBC version of it.
Yeah.
It's just that I didn't see that until pretty much 5 minutes before we started recording this morning.
And I haven't seen it at all yet, and I'm going to be watching it very shortly. By the way, listeners, so you can contribute money to the show via the 20 Megabytes podcast.
And support our sponsors.
Yeah, don't talk about sponsors. We've done them. We're doing us now. The 20 Megabytes. That's it. Magic! Get in here! You're lucky he's not in the house.
That's a little private. Leave that out of this.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast .podbean.com. On there is a donate button. You can donate as much or as little as you like, and all things are appreciated. However, if you'd like to donate in the region of £10, they will send you via eBay. So if you search on eBay, the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, there we've got an A4 poster with our logo and Who Won logo. It's just an A4 post. It's very nice. Artwork by Alistair Pearson. And you can own this. It's very exclusive, and only people that who have contributed, and Charles Gears, you will get yours. I have got the packaging for it now and the poster. All I need now is to try and accumulate the funds to send it to you. You will get these in the post, and they're very exclusive. But just basically, £11.50 sent to us. The reason why it's £11.50 is because that marvellous organisation stroke bank PayPal take a £1 out of anything they pay you. They take a pound out of it.
PayPal are crooks.
Yeah.
PayPal are
so
crooks.
Basically, I had to charge. PayPal, I thought if we can get £10 out of it, plus postage, we'll get around £10. And it's you give us a donation, you get something out of it. I thought it was worth trying.
For American listeners, A4 is approximately the size of an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper.
That'd be it.
Can I just point out? I'm not sure if this was mentioned a minute ago, but PayPal are crooks.
Thank you for that.
I don't know, I've got more news here. You seem to be skirting off.
Oh, sorry, guys. Sorry. I'm just trying to. I've got to go back to the cooker.
Right.
Well, I've found out. I've been reading an extra bit of an interview with Stephen. And it starts by saying the show will celebrate its 50th anniversary next year. Why has no one told me? Jeez, I mean. But Stephen Moffat refused to be drawn on what plans he had in store, and this is where it gets interesting. He says, it's still not certain that Matt Smith will remain in his role as the Doctor for the 8th series of the show. And then he repeats that we'll take it a year at a time, that's the only way you can deal with it, blah, blah, blah. But he said, honestly, I don't know whether he'll be here. We'll keep him as long as we can, but he hasn't made his mind up yet. And as I just mentioned a minute ago, that the Christmas special starts filming next week. So it's going to be nice. You can ask anything you want.
Can I ask you something, Ben?
Yeah.
No, did they have a date for when, after the Christmas special, they show the remaining 8 episodes?
Yes, it says here, and this is the thing I was going to point out as well, because this has made me slightly more pleased. It says the 7th series of Doctor Who kicks off with 6 episodes, including the Christmas special, in the autumn, with a further 8 episodes to follow in early 2013. Yeah. So I think what they're going to do is what we kind of like surmised about 6 months ago, which is show half the series before Christmas, the Christmas special, and then they'll bring it. But, you know, in some
That means, of course, then that we'll get the whole new series for the 50th anniversary.
Oh, no, I don't think they will. I think they're now going to get into the... I think they're
splitting it in half.
Yeah, they've shifted it into the seasons now, and I don't mean seasons as in series one. I mean winter, summer.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Weather, not television.
I think you're
going to
get a few episodes from October until the middle of November. Then you'll get a break.
Yes,
then
Borg.
episode, and then you'll get February, March time, which is kind of ridiculous because the whole reason they've moved it is because Stephen Moffat said it's going to get better ratings later in the year than earlier in the year. So why are you then still putting half the series on in the time where you're saying it's not going to get ratings? You freaking idiot.
Okay, thank you very much for that. Any more news?
Yeah, if you know, if the Star Trek people complain about these new enemies being Borg, we just need to point out that the Cybermen predated the... Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Precisely.
Did anyone see the picture that I posted yesterday? A friend of mine was on vacation to Adelaide last week and found some street art of Doctor Who.
Yeah, I saw that. It's really good, yeah.
Yeah.
But have you seen one of our new group members has been posting some artwork on the Facebook group?
Yeah,
that's terrific stuff.
Pretty good stuff.
Yeah. So thanks. So keep it coming. Yeah, it's really nice to see that. If you want to see the artwork on the Facebook page, that's our 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which some people are leaving, some people are joining. But that's Kenneth Smith.
Coming and going.
What if the Doctor's going to meet his new companion in a brothel?
Ooh.
Because it says would be... meet his companion in a very, very different way.
They should have done
that. Slightly inappropriate, but hey. So I've got to go back to the cooker. It's boiling over. Back in a sec.
I can hear it.
Okay.
Speaking of the Facebook group, I posted a link of an excellent piece of music by Murray Gold called The Unit, and it featured in the Christmas Invasion. Yeah.
I didn't bother.
You lazy little person.
I find it interesting that apparently all of the soundtracks are available that way.
Yes.
Naughty people.
Yes.
Naughty. Leave Ben out of this.
I'm not even contributing.
Right.
I have no valid point. But one thing I would be interested in knowing is what you lot think of the time shift of the series. I mean, I don't know. You'll probably get it roughly...
Ben, once we get used to it, it will be like we've got used to it before. You know what I mean?
Because
they've adjusted it all over the years, haven't they?
I'm not one of these people who said, don't change anything. Of course, everything's... But the reason they said they were shifting it is because it got better ratings in the latter half of the year rather than the beginning of the year. So all that they've done is basically gone, they're just leaving it 6 months more, an extra 9 months without any Doctor Who, which really pisses me off, quite frankly.
Because, me too.
You know, we've got, well, actually saying that, we have now only got 8 months and 30 days to wait until the Christmas episode.
Yeah, yeah. It is, the time is gradually shrinking, and I don't want to wish away the summer, but at least it's something to look forward to when the summer has... finally gone.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who.
We've continued long enough here that I'm going to have to say goodbye again early.
Well, I was going to say about Kenneth Smith's artwork on the Facebook group, but something...
You mentioned that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I've got to run.
Well, so have I.
Hi, Kirby.
So, next week is New Earth?
New Earth, yeah.
Excellent.
Anyway, thanks for joining us this week, Kirby.
So I'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Kirby. But everybody else is going as well, so it's nice. Was there any other news? Thank you, Kirby. Goodbye.
We're all done on the news.
Yeah, okay, then. All done then, completely.
Goodbye.
Bye. yeah, so that's it for this week. Like I say, send in your feedback to 20mb.feedback@gmail.com. Please listen again to the show next week.
I look forward to listening.
That's
to
what
the
we're
feedback.
Here for, really, isn't it?
I won't listen next week, to be honest.
No,
I didn't
listen
this week.
We'll be back next week, and hopefully the clocks will change in Australia soon. We'll all be back together at the same time. However, I'm in negotiations because it's...
Don't change.
Don't they?
No, we don't have any daylight saving whatsoever.
Is it not?
No.
Western Australia.
And that's the way I love it. It's absolutely great.
Isn't there, in Australia, you've got, was it three different time zones?
Yeah.
It isn't one of them.
Queensland doesn't go ahead an hour, Reese. Even though it's just above you guys.
Isn't there one of the time zones which is an hour and a half ahead of the one next to it or something?
Yeah, there's Western Australia. I mean, South Australia is, I think, that's 1.5 hours, I think.
How does that work?
It's a big place.
It is a big place.
Yeah.
If you're on the time,
it's a long boundary,
if it's 2 o'clock there, and then you step over the boundary, it's half past 12.
Yep.
So that means you get lunch twice.
Nice. I mean, that you must be pretty peed off if you're a stewardess or a steward on a plane. Have to change your watch all the time.
I can't say so.
What happens if you live on one side of the time border and work on the other side of the time border? And
I'm sure that actually happens, Ben.
I'm sure it does. I can't get my scrambled little head around that. That would just be really, really weird. Maybe you'd have to have two watches.
Yeah, I'll be home at 5. Hang on, no, wait, 4.
At 5, 3.30. Oh, 6.30. Oh, yeah. God knows. I'll be home at some point. Maybe you've got to have two watches,
true, though. You might have your house at one side of the barrier and your workplace at the other. So,
what happens if the timeline goes down the middle of your house? and your kitchen's in one time zone and the lounge or the dining room's in the other
through
time
the middle
zone
of your bed.
And you,
you said
exactly.
You wake up at 8 o'clock. You wake up at 8:30.
Get out of bed, one day.
And you shout out to the missus, tea will be like 10 minutes, yes! 5 o'clock, and she's there like for an hour and a half waiting because the time's different. Or the other way around, the dinner will be on the table for an hour and a half, getting cold. It worries me.
And Adam, this is Doctor Who related too.
Thank you for that. I've just randomly seen an advert about Sky Arts, and they've got Playhouse Presents, and David Tennant's playing a part on it. I don't know what is, but that's a live play, is it? Perhaps, I don't know.
Anyway, I've got to go.
I've got to go too. About an hour ago, because I've got lots
of
stuff.
Is that an hour ago or an hour and a half ago? Because if we're talking about the time zones again, then obviously you've got a problem there. You're either an hour and a half late or really early.
What time would that be in Australia, though?
Hey, that's the third time the clock has chimed since I started doing this show.
So
that's it then. Thank you for listening to the show. Back next week, and we'll be talking about new Earth. Oh, by the way, Alicia's off on holiday for 2 weeks, so hopefully we'll have her as well. Please.
Can I just say, on the subject of me being so late, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, very good. Bye.
Bye.
Is an APV Services production, is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.